In today's Mishnahs, we'll learn the second and third Mishnah from the first parak of Masechet Horiot. And yesterday's Mishnah began learning about this Parhalem Daval Shel Tzibur, which is a special offering that is brought in the situation where Beit Din make a ruling by mistake regarding a prohibition that is punishable normally with karet. And a majority of the Tzibur ended up acting according to this ruling, and thereby violating a prohibition. In yesterday's Mishnah, we were discussing an individual normally, if they make such a mistake, and it wasn't related to the mistaken ruling by Beit Din, they would have to bring their own sin offering. But due to this mistaken ruling and relying on it, we said according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he completely relied on the ruling, he'd be exempt. According to Chachamim, we said that the individuals only be exempt if a majority of the tzibur once again followed this ruling. Whether or not they relied on the ruling a lot, this is a detail we didn't mention yesterday's Mishnah, that would be whether we calculate them as when trying to work out whether a majority of the tzibur followed the ruling and violated the prohibition. So let's continue today's Mishnah. Mishnah begins, Horu Beit Din. Beit Din ruled, and they publicized this ruling, and then Ve'adushtu, and they realized after the fact that they made a mistake. V'chazru b'hem, and they retracted. Bein shevi kapratan, bein shelo hevi kapratan. Whether this parhelim had dvar shetzibor has been brought or not, it's irrelevant, because what happens if v'halach, and an individual goes v'asal b'hem, and still violate the prohibition based on the original ruling? According to Rabbi Shimon, he says he's poter, he's exempt. Why? Because the justification of why he violated prohibition was based on that original ruling. He may not have heard that, or he didn't hear that the position of the Beit Din was retracted. However, Rabbi Eliezer says suffik. Now, there's a discussion exactly what suffik means, but practically what it means, he would have to bring what's referred to as a sham talui, meaning if someone has a doubt whether they violated a prohibition that's punishable by karet, they bring an asham talui. This is a different guilt offering that is brought until they work out whether they're actually obligated to bring a korban chatat or not as a proper sin offering. So what's the nature of this doubt, according to Rabbi Eliezer? It's a doubt how to define this individual, whether he's tola b'beit din or tola b'atzmo, meaning what's his actions dependent on beit din, or was he dependent on himself? According to the Batanura, who cites the Rambam, he says the doubt is because really, every moment he should be asking, well, has any news come out of Beit Din with respect to any other rulings? So therefore, he's treated as a suffix. So Mishnah says, Ezu is suffix. What's a case where he'd be defined as an individual in this state of suffix and have to bring this asham talui? So the Mishnah says, Yashav lo betoch beito. Let's say this individual was staying at home. He wasn't traveling anywhere. In that situation, that would categorize him as being chayav to bring this asham talui. However, if he halach lo minetayam, if how he traveled overseas, and was still acting according to the original ruling that he had heard, in that situation we say patur, he would be exempt, because that is clearly a situation where his actions are still dependent on or was motivated by the original ruling. However, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Mo'adeh ani mazeh, I agree in that situation, shehu karo liftor min chova, that yes, indeed, I agree in that situation, it's more likely he should be considered exempt. So Amar lo ben azeh responded, what's the difference between that situation when someone's gone overseas and at home? A response from Rabbi Kiva is, Shahai Shev Beito, someone who is at home, Ef Shar Hayalo Shayishma. It is possible that he could have heard that Beit Din retracted from the original ruling. Vezeh, someone who went overseas, however, Lo Haya Ef Shar Lo Shayishma, he would not have been able to hear. What's interesting here is that the Gemara explains that really Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva both agree that if the individual went overseas, he would clearly be exempt from bringing an individual offering, because it's considered his motivation was based on the original ruling. The debate is regarding an individual who has packed his bags and he's on the way to the airport and he's already on his journey. In that situation, it's called what's machzik bederech. According to Rabbi Akiva, already at that point, we treat this individual as if he is overseas because he's so preoccupied with his journey. We consider him as if there's no different to being overseas, and his actions are considered as if it was based on the original ruling entirely. However, Banazai says, but no, since he's still within the country and is not overseas, he's treated like someone who is at home and not someone who's gone away. Let's now learn Mishnah Gimel. Horu Beit Din la kor et kol haguf. What happens if the ruling was that they ruled that an entire mitzvah doesn't apply? For example, Amru, Ein Nida Betorah, the prohibition of Nida, of having a relationship with a woman who is considered a Nida, who's just had a period. Or they say, Ein Shabbat Betorah, or there's no prohibitions relating to Shabbat. Or Ein Avodazah Betorah, or there's no issue with idol worship. In that situation, Harei Elu Pturim, the Beit Din are exempt from bringing this Parhelem Daval Shetzibur. That is because these prohibitions are explicitly mentioned in the Torah. The expression is Zil Kare Beirahu. This is simply go open the Sefer Torah and you'll see they're prohibited. So therefore, it wouldn't fall under this whole sugya, this whole topic we're talking about of Parhelem Daval Shetzibur. However, if they said horu, they ruled the vatel miktsata mitzvah. If, however, the ruling was regarding a detail within the mitzvah, but to fulfill the rest of it, hare iluchayim, that's when all the laws of parlem davar shitzibur apply. Ketzad, how so? Amru, if they said yesh nida b'torah, yes, certainly it's a prohibition of nida, aval haba al shomer yom keneged yom patur. But if someone had a relationship with a shomer yom keneged yom. So a shomer yom keneged yom refers to a woman who sees blood outside the normal nida period, so beyond the 7 days of nida. In that situation, she has to keep one tahor day rather than preserving a 7 day tahara period, and then she can immerse in a mikvah. So if they say, oh, this detail, we'll learn about that in more detail when we learn Masechta Nida, but they say if that detail doesn't apply in that situation, that would fit these laws of Paralem Dabal Shul Tzibur, because it is punishable by karet, and it's a detail within a law. In that situation, of all Am Yisrael, like acted or majority acted according to the ruling, that's when Beit Din Paralhem Davar Shetzibur. So let's bring some other examples. If they said Yesh Shabbat B'Torah, certainly you're not allowed to do Malacha on Shabbat. However, Aval Motzi Mirushut Yahachid Rushut HaRabim Patur, but they've ruled, but actually you're allowed to carry from a private domain to the public domain. There'll be another error within a detail. Or finally, Yesh Shabbat Dazar Shabbat B'Torah, idol worship is certainly prohibited. Aval, you can bow. Aval Mishtachaveh Patur, that you're allowed to bow. That's not considered idol worship, meaning bow towards this idol. Hare elu chavayim, that situation, that would fit perfectly. Why? Because the Torah says, Shenema v'ne'elam davar. Meaning they made an error regarding a matter. Mishnah understands, davar, a matter, v'lo kol haguf, not the entire mitzvah itself. Now just to correct one point in the Mishnah to make it more precise, is that all these details we've just mentioned in the Mishnah are in fact also explicitly mentioned in the Torah. So even if Beit Din made a ruling regarding these details, for example, you're not allowed to, let's use an example from Shabbat, they'd say, yes, you're not allowed to do malacha, but carrying seems to be fine, it would still not fall under the category of Paralim Davar Shetzibur. That is because the Torah explicitly says, Al Yitze Ish Mim Komo. There's a pasuk that talks about the fact you're not allowed to carry a kli from one domain to the other. So therefore, the Gemara explains that we're dealing with a detail within that. For example, let's go back to example regarding Shabbat. That's where they said, Beit Din said, oh, you're not allowed to carry from one domain to the other, but Beit Din made a mistake and said you're allowed to throw, meaning stay where you are and move the object from Rishut HaRabim to Yat HaAchid. And that example is Moshit, say, passing something from one domain to the other while still situated in the domain of the object's origin. That would be a situation where it's a mistake because these things are not allowed to be done on Shabbat, but it's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. It would be that situation that such an error would, and Am Yisrael, a majority of Am Yisrael, end up practicing, according to these people, started throwing things from domain to domain on Shabbat, then that situation would find that, yes, they would have to bring this Par Helem Davar Tzibur. The Kati, or the Sats of Gemara, that talks about the details in other situations about Ozara, and Nida, I'll leave that for you in further study. Those are the Mishnah today.